Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are the majestic, holy, heavenly Father of the entire universe. We praise you for your beautiful, amazing, glorious Son, whose blood was shed for us. And we thank you for your life-giving Spirit that you give us. We thank you also for speaking to us through your word, for giving us your word, the Bible. Please help me to speak accurately and truthfully from your word this evening. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So God's hidden hand is always at work, isn't it? Sometimes we see it. Sometimes we don't see it, but maybe later on we go, "Ah, God, that's what you were doing." Now let me share a few examples, and I'm sure you might be able to think of a few of your own examples as well. When I was 18 years old, and my parents said to me, "You are not going on schoolies. You're going on church schoolies." And I was like, "You're kidding me, Mum, Dad, come on." But God's hidden hand was at work. It was God's plan for me to go on church schoolies, become a Christian and be saved. When Angela and I were married in 2011, there was lots going on in our lives. And we didn't know what God was doing. Oh yeah, well, I knew we were married in 2009, but we were married a couple of years later in 2011, is what I meant. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's right. 28th of November, got that. Yes. God's hidden hand is at work, always. And so in 2009 we got married, in 2011 stuff was going on, and we ended up here at Eaglevale. We had no idea what God was doing, but God's hidden hand was at work. And just recently this week, Angela was looking at buying something for Grace on Gumtree. We won't give it away what it is. And it was about a 40-minute drive away. And you know, and Aaron, is it worth the 40-minute drive? Is it worth spending the money? And when Angela arrived, she found out that the person was a Christian. Had a thing on the door. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. So Angela struck up a conversation with this lady, and it turns out that she was going to use the money for the sale. She was trying to think of more creative ways to give to missionaries in their church, and so she was selling some stuff and was going to give the money of the sales towards some mission work at her church. And so we didn't know that at the time. 40-minute drive, do we spend the money? But again, God's hidden hand was at work. God's hidden hand is always at work. Now we see this in the story that I'm about to share in a moment. Now in this story, it looks like that King Herod is in control. It looks like King Herod has the upper hand. You see, he's arresting believers and he arrests Peter. It looks like he's in control, but going on behind the scenes, God's hidden hand is at work. You see, it was really God's hidden hand and plan for Peter to be arrested, to bring about judgment and salvation. And so let me share the story with you, and then we'll think a bit more about this story and the theme together. And to help you with this story, I'm going to ask a question afterwards. And the question is, what shocked or surprises you in this story? Okay, what shocks or surprises you in this story? So there's a little picture for visual people, God's hidden hand at work. What shocked and surprises you from this story? So this is what happened. King Herod was arresting many of the believers, and he planned to make them suffer greatly. He also had James, the brother of John, arrested and had him beheaded, killed by the sword. And when he saw that this pleased the Jews, he also had Peter arrested as well. Now this happened during the feast of the unleavened bread. Now Peter was put in prison, and he was guarded by four groups of four soldiers. And King Herod planned to put Peter on trial the day after the Passover. Now, whilst Peter was in prison, the church was praying earnestly for him. Now, one night, Peter was in his cell. It was the night before he was going to go on trial. He had two chains on him. He was guarded by two soldiers either side, and there was also soldiers on lookout as well. Then an angel of the Lord appeared. The angel's light shone through the whole cell. Now the angel struck Peter on the side, and Peter woke up. And the angel said, "Get up, quick." And right away, the chains fell off Peter. Just like that. Then Peter got up and followed the angel. The angel said, "Put on your clothes and your sandals." And Peter did so. He said, "Put on your cloak and follow me." And Peter followed the angel out of the prison, past the first and second lot of guards, all the way to the iron gate. And then the gate opened up automatically. Now, Peter had no idea what was going on. He didn't know what the angel was doing. He didn't know what was going on. He thought he was having a vision. He went through the gate with the angel. He walked the length of one street, and then the angel disappeared. And then Peter realized what had happened. The Lord has sent his angel to rescue me. The Lord has sent his angel to rescue me from the power of King Herod. He has rescued me from what the Jews wanted to do to me. Now, when Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary. Now, Mary was the mother of John Mark. And there the believers were coming together and they were praying. Now Peter went to the outer entrance and he knocked on the door. Now a servant came named Rhoda came to open the door. But when she heard Peter's voice, she was so excited that she forgot to open the door. And she ran back and told everyone else. She said, "Peter is at the door." "You're out of your mind," they said. But she insisted that it was true. And then they said, "It must have been his angel." But Peter kept on knocking on the door. And eventually they opened the door. And they were amazed. It was Peter. Now Peter motioned with his hands for them to be quiet. And he explained how God had rescued him through the angel. And then Peter went away to another place. Now the following morning in the prison, there was no small commotion. The soldiers were perplexed and bewildered. What had happened to Peter? Now, King Herod sent the soldiers to do a careful search for Peter, but he could not be found. And then King Herod interrogated the soldiers, and then he had them killed. Now, after this, King Herod went from Judah to Caesarea. Now, at this time, King Herod was also having arguments with the people of Tyre and Sidon. These people relied on the king for food for their country. And so they arranged a special meeting with King Herod. But they also got assistance from one of Herod's servants. His name was Blastus. They gained his trust, and Blastus was able to help them convince King Herod. And so the formalities were arranged for this meeting. Now, King Herod was in his royal clothes. He sat on his royal throne. And then he got up and gave a speech. Now, when the people heard this speech, they called out, "This is not the voice of a man. This is the voice of God." Now, because King Herod did not give praise to God, an angel of the Lord struck him dead, and he was eaten by worms. However, the church continued to grow. The gospel continued to spread, and many more people believed. Now, friends, that is the story from Acts chapter 12, and that was using the NIRV version. So we'll get again to that big idea in a moment, God's hidden hand at work. But first of all, let's unpack this story a little bit and think about some of the detail. Maybe talk to the person next to you. What shocked or surprised you in this story? So have a chat with the person next to you and think about the detail of the story. What shocked or surprised you in this story? Well, friends, it sounds like there's some good conversations happening. I'll just get you to pause that for a moment. And now, you don't have to do this, but for the encouragement of others, would anyone like to share their answer? What from this story shocked or surprised you? Anyone like to share an answer? Either put up your hand or call out. Fran. Yeah. Yeah, so it's surprising how the chains fell off Peter, and obviously the guards didn't hear the noise. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point as well. The guards were asleep at Jesus' tomb also. Yeah. Does anyone else want to share what shocked or surprised you in this story? Yes. The worms. Yeah. That's shocking, isn't it? You don't see that coming, do you? Struck by an angel, eaten by worms. That is... Yeah. Yeah. So it was spectacular how the chains came off and how the gate opened on its own as well. That's amazing. Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yes. Yeah. So it was amazing that they didn't think the miracle was possible. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, so that's an interesting thing in the story. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah. So shocking how they were worshipping Herod, and then shocking how God strikes him down. Yeah. And I wonder if it was partly because Herod had control of their food, so they're trying to like pump up his ego a little bit, or they genuinely thought Herod sounded like God. I'm not sure, or maybe a bit of both, but amazing. They worshipped him as God. And yeah, and how God struck him down. Say it again, Emily. Being rude. Disrespect. Don't disrespect God. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, so God is a jealous God. Yeah, that's right. It's a good point, guys. Thanks for sharing that. That's great. So a lot of shocking things, wasn't there? Believers were getting arrested, were made to suffer greatly. James was killed by the sword. Peter was under heavy guard. We see Herod's arrogance at work. We see his murderous response when he had the angels, not the angels, he had the guards killed. And I got the biggest shock for me too was when he was eaten by worms. That is a shocking moment. So what does this story teach us about people? Well, we learn what happens when people have too much power, don't we? Power can corrupt. Power can get to your head, and that was definitely the case for King Herod. And so we need to be careful as people as well. When God gives us power, how are we going to use that power? If you're a boss or a teacher or a parent, whatever power God gives you, are you going to use it to serve yourself and for your own glory and to abuse those below you? Or are you going to humbly use that God-given power that he gives you? Also, I remember the Beatles who thought they were bigger than God, and they said this: we are more popular than Jesus. John Lennon said that. And it's dangerous, isn't it? When we think we're bigger than God, when we think that we're bigger than Jesus. They thought rock and roll would have a longer legacy than Jesus. And so we also need to be careful that we don't put ourselves in God's place or put others in God's place as well. So we learn that people and power is not always a good mix. I also find interesting in this story that people are sometimes pleased to see others suffer. The Jews were pleased what King Herod was doing. And so he went ahead and arrested Peter. But as Christians, we don't want to be like that, do we? We don't want to be pleased at other people's suffering. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for them. And we also learn in this story that people are at the complete mercy of God. Peter was at the mercy of God. The believers were at the mercy of God. Even King Herod was at the mercy of God. I also find interesting in this story as well what it teaches us about the faith of the people in the story. It was really encouraging that the believers were praying earnestly for Peter. But for some reason, they didn't believe that God would answer that prayer. Because you think when they said, "It's Peter," they'll go, "Oh, that's what we've been praying for. Peter's at the door. Yes, God." But they doubted, didn't they? They had faith to pray the prayer, but they didn't have faith to believe that God would answer the prayer. And so they question the servant, and Peter has to keep on knocking. So I think there's a challenge there too when we pray. To believe when we pray, to have faith when we pray, not to just pray out of duty. But to pray and believe that God can do the impossible. So what can we take home from this story this evening? Well, lots of things that we've already shared. But again, I want to remind us of this big idea that God's hidden hand is always at work. In this story, we see God's hidden hand at work. It looks like Herod is in control. It looks like Herod is pulling the strings. But it seems to be God's plan to have Peter arrested. Seems to be God's plan to have then Peter rescued by the angel, which brought about King Herod. King Herod's downfall. We see God's hidden hand at work to bring about judgment for King Herod and salvation. And we see that God's timing is always perfect. He allowed Peter to be arrested. He allowed all this to unfold. And then he judged King Herod at the right time and saved Peter at the right time as well. God's hidden hand is at work in this story. We also see in this story that no political power or movement is greater than God. Psalm 2 reminds us of this. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up and the rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us break their chains and throw off their shackles." However, the one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. He rebukes them in his anger and terrifies them in his wrath. God is the ultimate authority, and we see this in this story. And we also see, amazingly in this story, that we have an unstoppable gospel. God's hidden hand is at work. God's kingdom has greater power and authority than any other political movement. And we see, again, the unstoppable gospel at work. The church continued to grow. The gospel continued to spread. And many more people came to believe at the end of the story. The gospel is unstoppable. The gospel always achieves its work. Just like the rain, when it rains, achieves its work to water the earth. The gospel achieves its work in saving many souls. That's exactly what it says in Isaiah. Isaiah 55, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so it is with my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. God's gospel cannot be stopped. We see it in this story. It should be encouragement for us to keep spreading the gospel, because we see and know that the gospel works. The gospel is always on a mission, just like the rain. So let's keep spreading the gospel. We see God's hidden hand at work to rescue Peter, so the unstoppable gospel keeps on spreading and spreading and spreading. And my final take-home challenge is this. We see God's hidden hand at work, but let's make sure that we don't hide God in our own lives. When God's hidden hand is at work in our lives, let's share that with others. Let's not hide what God is doing. Let his unstoppable gospel shine through us. Let me pray. Father God, thank you for this amazing story in Acts chapter 12. We just thank you for how your hidden hand is at work in this situation to bring about judgment and salvation. Judgment for those that are against you, but salvation for your church. And we thank you for your mercy in this story in rescuing Peter. And we thank you for your mercy in rescuing each and every one of us through your Son, Jesus. And Father, we thank you for all the hidden things that you might be doing in our lives. Help us to always be trusting you, even if we don't know exactly what's going on around us. Peter was confused, and we might sometimes be confused as well what you're doing. But help us to trust you no matter what the situation or season that we're in, knowing that you'll use it for your good and glory. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.